It's an honor to hear me preach. You're exactly right. Get your Bibles out. Hush. Get your Bibles out. 2 Timothy. Hey. Spider. Just ejected a spider into outer darkness. Amen. 2 Timothy in your Bibles. Are you happy? Happy. Yes. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Well, it's good to be here. Thank you to my friend, Brother Wilkerson, and Brother Ray Young for allowing me the opportunity. All the folks that are here that work so hard to get me here, it's a great opportunity. And so I appreciate that. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And Brother John, good to see you. Brother Jesse and others. And 30 plus years of friendships that started in this place. And thankful for that. And so those things we hold dear. And you should get you some of those as well. 3.5 more weeks and we're graduating. We're getting out of here. Amen. And by the way, if you don't go to graduation, you lose 3 credits. Maybe that's why I never graduated. I kept skipping graduation. Couldn't keep up. But finish strong. Amen. Congratulations to you graduates. Our daughter Lydia is graduating. Finally. And she's getting done. I brought your toothbrush, sis, so don't forget that. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's read a verse. We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit this morning. Welcome to Hiles Anderson College. Amen. It's kind of like where David was. Everyone that was in distress and in debt and discontented are gathered. Amen. And that's we're all under one roof. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. I'm going to talk to you about this morning, brand new message. I've never preached it before, and want to present a truth. And let me make a statement before we read the verse. You know, you can be in a good place and not get it.
Right.
You can be in a real good place and not receive it. You can have all the trappings of what is right and what God would want you to have and be amongst it, but not get it. I venture to say in a crowd this size, there are some folks in this room this morning, you've been here a little while or maybe a great while and you're not getting it. How sad is that? How sad is that for somebody to take you to the ice cream parlor and you just got to watch? Come on, help me with that. How sad is that to be in a good place to get something good and there's something not connecting? There's something not happening. And so this place of opportunity, you know, there's opportunity here. Some opportunities, Brother John, they come and, you know, they might come again. That's why I like coming to this area because there's a Dunkin' Donuts on every corner. So, you know, if I miss that one, there's one 3 blocks up. I'm good, you know. But there's some opportunities in life that come around one time. One time. And this is you right here. It will never be just like this again. It'll never be just like this again. So this opportunity you have, you know, I think of Judas Iscariot. It's even strange to even consider in our Bibles that there could be a book in the Bible that says Judas, a servant of the Lord. But there's not one that says that. Judas Iscariot, an apostle of Jesus Christ, never says that. I want you to notice 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I didn't intend to say this earlier, but I'll say it now. I want you to reconsider your thoughts of not returning in the fall. I'd like you to, this morning, reconsider the opportunity that's before you, and I want you to maybe let the Lord speak to you a bit this morning, or maybe a lot about the opportunity that you have right now that will not come again. And may I just suggest to you also that don't hate the place. Hate the sin that causes you to want to leave this place. Don't hate the place. Don't hate the people. Hate the flesh that causes you to want to go back into the world. Does this make sense? Many a person has left a good place and a good opportunity. We'll just use this place. And has left a good place like this. And instead of owning the fact that they might have let Jesus down, they want to blame the place. They want to blame the people. And I've counseled with folks in my church and other folks through the years that have, instead of owning what they are, they choose to blame something else. And the opportunity was right before them, just like it was for many other people and it is for you right now. Don't hate the place. Hate the sin that keeps you from getting all you can get.
Amen.
Hate the flesh that yields to a world and a devil. Come on, talk to me. Hate the things of the world that so draw you and your spirituality so shallow that you can't get enough of it. Hate that. Demas, having loved this present world. He loved the present. He loved the now. He loved the immediate. He loved that which was affecting him right now. He loved that was affecting him right now. Watch him, Brother Collins. And then it made it critical for his future because of what he loved right now. Your future is being built right now.
Amen.
The decisions you make and the choices you make are deciding not just what I'm going to do this afternoon, but what's going to happen in the future. Because this opportunity may not, it won't come around again. It won't come around again. In the present time, something shallow can be gained, but that which is sure will be lost. You can gain something in the short term. Everybody in this room has been highly invested in. Every person in this room has been highly invested in. I've personally invested in some of you. You've been highly invested in. Everybody look at me. You've been highly invested in. And the opportunity right now is before you. Don't let some distraction cause you to miss what God wants you to do. Don't let something so simple as a bowl of chili, Esau, talk you out of what God wants you to do all the way in the back, all the way right in here. We okay? Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. I'll show you a sad story. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Don't chase the chariot. Don't chase the chariot. I'm going to contrast. This is Bible students in a Bible college, and thank God for a college that will teach the Word of God. We need the graduates. We need the people to get out of here and do something where we are. 2 Kings chapter number 5. I want to bring a little bit of a message from this story, and I want to contrast some things. And I'm just going to read just a portion. You know the story, but just stay with me all the way through and consider in the short time we have. 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria. Naaman is the number two man in a country called Syria. Is that what your Bible says? The Bible says he was a great man with his master. He was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. There's some teaching there, but we've got to go on. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians, watch your Bible very closely because every word in the Bible is important. Say amen to that. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive, notice this phrase, out of the land of Israel. The Syrians are coming and going in and out of the land of Israel, God's people. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Now, before we talk about this much more, I just want you to know the address where we're going to be. I want you to know that just kind of recognize the former days of Israel. Israel used to have a mighty king that had a heart for God. Israel used to be aware of the goodness of God. Prior to this event, Israel had a king that was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Prior to this event, you might try to imagine what it might have been to have a strong leader like David as the head of state, pushing the righteousness and the goodness of God Almighty to a nation. You might try to imagine, if you would, a man of God as David was that kept God before the people. You might try to imagine a king like David who kept pushing the borders of Israel wider and wider and gaining ground for God and his people. Say amen.
Amen.
You might try to imagine the former days when things were sweeter and things were more fluid and things were more God-inspired, we might say. You might consider a day in the history of Israel when things were flowing a lot better and we prayed. We had a government that loved God. You might consider a day in the land of Israel where the strength of Israel was in a God that was fortifying them as a people. You might consider the former days of Israel where Solomon comes on the scene and the wisest man ever is Solomon, and a very wealthy man, and he takes the reins. And by the way, the great magnificence of the temple that Solomon built. You might consider an Israel where the things of God were prominent and featured, and the outcasts of Israel were those that were sideways with God, and righteousness prevailed and permeated a nation. And Solomon, and the greatness of Solomon, your Bible says that when Solomon, they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the holy place, the priests couldn't minister. They couldn't stand to minister because the smoke and the glory of God filled the room. That's the former days of Israel. Today, in our story, the days are dark. In 55 years, Elisha will be dead. In 55 years, the Moabites will take over all the land. In 300 years, just a handful of generations, there will be no more people of Israel. They'll be taken captive. In just a little while, all of that we talked about in the former days will be gone. The dark days are here of idolatry. The dark days are here where everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. The dark days are here when the people are dead to God. Apostasy on a national scale. Syria, in our verse here, has been slapping Israel around regularly. All the land that David had captured, the Syrians are now retaking. Oh, for a people that want God. Oh, for a people that want to know who God is. Oh, for a people, a generation that wants to know where God is and who God is and what He says and what He wants and what He expects out of me and what He expects out of you. Oh, for a people that want God again. Oh, for a people that look back and say, man, the temple and the this and the this and the stories of my family getting right and the changed lives. Oh, for a people that want God in their home and in their nation and in their lives. Amen. Oh, for a people that want a mighty God. Good. For a people that would count everything that matters to them but dung that they might win Christ. Amen. For some young people, for some young preachers and young ladies and the group in this room that has the opportunity to know God. Amen. To cast everything aside and say, look, everybody else can soak up the world. I want Jesus. Amen. I want Jesus. Amen. The former days. We notice in our story this event of 2 Kings chapter number 5. The Bible says that verse number 3, there was a young maiden that knew there was a man of God in Israel. Say amen to that. The Bible says in verse number 4, and one went in and told the Lord, saying, thus and thus says the maid, what's going on in Israel? And the king of Syria in verse 5 said, go, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel saying, hey, we've got this issue. We'd like some help with that. And verse 7, the king of Israel rightly didn't know what this was all about. And he was afraid. Again, the Syrians had been coming and going. And verse number 8 says this, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel rent his clothes. He said, wherefore have you rent your clothes? So Naaman, verse 9, came with his horses and his chariot, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Just go out to the Jordan River and wash 7 times. Oh, a man of God. A man of God like this Elisha. A man of God not seeking wealth. Come on, help me. A man of God not seeking popularity. A man of God not trying to be promoted. A man of God that just sits inside the room and says, God will do this for you, just go do.
Good.
A man of God that's not interested in being in the forefront.
Well, come on.
but he's interested in having power with God.
Amen.
A man of God here in Israel, and there are dark days for Israel, but we have an Elisha.
Good.
I'd like you to notice verse number 20, the second prominent, another prominent person in this chapter is in verse number 20. Follow along very closely. We're getting dangerously close to the message. Gehazi was a servant of Elisha, the man of God. Elisha's the man of God, and he has a servant named Gehazi. Is that right? And behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Verse number 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? He said, all is well. My master has sent me, and he's got some preachers, some prophets coming from Mount Ephraim, and he just wanted a little bit of silver for them. He lied. We have the man of God, the prophet, and we have the servant of the prophet, the phony. And Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. Take more than you asked for. I'll send some servants to carry it for you in verse 23. And he gets to the tower, and Gehazi takes the goods from him. And verse 25, he went in and stood before his master. So he gathers all these things that they had provided, garments and some wealth, we might say. And he took it from the servants, and he took it in the house, and he put it in the house, and he goes back out, and he's about to walk through the door where Elisha is, and he walks in the door, and he steps up, and Elisha says, where you been? Nowhere. I've been right here. And he said in verse number 26, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again with his chariot to meet thee? Like you note this phrase, is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is it time? Let's take the former days of America, where our pastor, Brother Howell, stood right here. Let's take the former days when Brother Malone preached. Let's take the former days when Dr. Rice preached. Let's take the former days when there were great sweeping revivals. Let's take the former days when we didn't whittle God down to 2 nights at the church, but we would go Sunday to Sunday. Let's look at the former days where Dr. Lee Robertson stood here and would come every year and preach. Let's look at the former days when the altars were full and the churches were exploding and souls were being saved and buses were full. Let's look at the former days. And I want to make a statement. While you walk these hallways, we're watching what is under the shadow of what was.
Come on.
What is neath the shadow of what was. And what has been.
Well,
and today you live in a country and I live in a country of dark days now.
Right.
Dark days. Well, your government don't even know what a boy and a girl is. Dark days. Where sin and sodomy are thrown at us as if it's normal. As if we're to cast God aside and cast our Bibles aside and welcome the sin and welcome the debauchery and welcome the debasement of that which God has given. We live in a dark day. We live in a very dark day. Israel's in a dark day. Here we come. We're getting close. Israel's in a dark day. And Gehazi, are you kidding me? If Elisha were in 2022, he'd look at Gehazi and say, really, dude? Did you really chase that guy down for what I begged off of? Did you really chase that chariot so you could have something in this dark day? Did you really forsake my teaching and all that I've given you and the opportunity you had to learn? Did you really forsake that and chase down the chariot for some garments and some money? Are you kidding me, Gehazi? Is it time for you to chase down a man and A heathen man, an idolatrous man, more like, is it really time for you to go after things that you know are not true, that you know are not right, that you shouldn't put your value in and you shouldn't put your life in? Is it really true, Gehazi? Is it time for us really in this dark day that we live in to go home and stay home and never come back? Is it really true in this dark day that you'd forsake the God of heaven to do your own will and chase what you want to chase? Is it time for that? Is it time for you to forsake all that God has pumped into you and for the investment that God has given you and the people that have invested in you and the place where you've been? Is it really time for that? Is it really time for you to lay your ears back and say, forget what God said. Forget what my pastor taught me. Forget what these people have taught me from this pulpit. Forget all of that. I want the world. Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Is it time for that? That's what he asked. Is it time for you to forsake? Is it time for us to love this present world? In a time where righteousness is so scant in our nation? At a time where God's people pray an average of 3 minutes a week?
Come on.
In a time where church has become a social institution?
Well,
we spend an hour a week on Sunday morning and we're doing God a service? Is it really time for you to bail? Time for you to chase what you want to do and tell God, you know, I know what you told me, but I ain't doing that.
Well, come on.
Does this make sense?
Good.
Is it time? That's what Elisha asked. I want to know if Gehazi is even in here. Are you in here, Gehazi? Several thoughts about this man. Gehazi went after what Eli had avoided. Gehazi went out after. He chased it. Listen to me, young man. He chased what Elisha said, leave it alone. It may not be very popular to say, but I had a man of God tell me what to pursue and what not to pursue. I had a man of God stand here and tell me this is what you go after and be careful about this. You have too.
Yeah.
I know your pastor well. You have too.
Yeah.
Many of you came here from churches and you had a pastor there too.
Right.
And they told you as well. Look at me. They told you as well.
Right.
Yeah. They told you what to pursue and what to stay away from.
Good.
They had the authority of God in their life, on your life, and they told you, look, this is what you go after, this is what you leave alone. Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, as soon as he turned his back, he boogied after that which Elisha himself wouldn't even look at.
Well, come on.
Is it time for you to leave this place and can't wait to shed the name Baptist?
Come on.
Hey, look, I'm out there. I'm out there.
Well,
where are the young people leaving good Bible colleges that they got what they were trained to be, and they got it, and they took off, and they did something for God with it?
Come on.
Instead of retooling and reanalyzing every moment.
Well,
look, I don't pursue that.
Right.
Don't pursue that chariot.
Amen.
Don't pursue that well. Don't pursue that at all. Hey, listen to me. Elisha wouldn't even go out the door.
Right.
He wouldn't even acknowledge the gifts that he brought. Is it time? Is it time for you to forsake righteousness? Is it time now of all times, of all time in our history? Is it now time for us to question righteousness and holiness? Is it time for us now to wonder whether or not we should be soul winning and we should be dressing modestly? Are we should be doing the thing that we've been taught to do? Is it really time?
Come on.
Well, is that all that stuff really that necessary? Somebody thought it was greater than me.
Man.
Don't be so smart that you tell your Elisha, you know, I don't really think you know what you're talking about.
Well, come on.
We okay? Is it time? In the seriousness of our nation, in the seriousness of the state of our churches, in the seriousness of God and His Word, and the seriousness of the decline of a country that's happening right before our very eyes, is it time? Gehazi, he dishonored God by pursuing gain. What was the deal? You know, I think Elisha wanted to show that salvation's free.
Man.
No, I don't need anything for it. This is what God will do for you, and God will heal you, and you'll be fine.
Good.
Gehazi sold it. Gehazi wanted it purchased. Hey, there's something available. Name it. Look, my master, he's rethought this thing. He's rethought this thing, and
well,
you know, he really thinks you maybe ought to give something just to these other people.
Well,
is it time for that?
Come on.
I think is it time? Is it time for us to be pursuing gain? I think it's a danger. Maybe I don't know. I think it is. So I'll go ahead and throw this out there. I've got this. Okay, people. When we were in school, and it's happening now. Look at me. I got something I'm going to do when I get home. I'm going to make some money. And
well,
then that becomes your God.
Right.
And you chase that chariot.
Right.
You chase that chariot and it looks pretty good. Now I got myself a new truck payment. Now I got myself this and I got myself that. Man, I can't go back and get in the will of God.
Well,
is it time for that? Hey, can I make a suggestion? Can I make a small suggestion? It's a wonderful time for you to tell Jesus yes. It's a wonderful time for you to tell the will of God, I'm in. It's a wonderful time for you to tell God, I'm all in. Let the world have the world. I'm not going to be a Demas. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to tell you don't know what you're talking about anymore. I'm not going to tell you that I want to do what I want to do. I'm all in. I told you I was all in. I'm staying all in. I ain't going nowhere. I'm right here. I'll be here. I'm going to go out of here and do something for you. I want God. And I don't have time for that other stuff.
Good.
We were talking on the way here. Sometimes there are things that we just entertain and the enemy says, yeah, stick with that.
Well,
it may just be a fleeting thought. It may just be something in a conversation. The enemy says, don't you like that?
Well, come on.
Like you know that Gehazi, he hid his heart's desire. Is it really time for you to backslide now? Is it really time to blow your testimony now?
Well,
really? Now?
Well,
not that there's ever a good time. But is it really time now? To let those kids in that youth group in the church you came from find out?
Huh? Well, come on.
Guess there's not much to that. Is it time now? He hid his heart's desire. Is it really now time to hide sin? Look, let me be very, very candid with you. We need you out there.
Right.
I haven't been here in a long time, but I've been out there a long time.
Good.
We need you to leave the insulation, the spiritual incubator that you need and you're growing in, but we need you to get what you got to get and get out there.
Good. Come on.
We need you to get what you got to get from your Elisha and the people that have invested in you and get out of here and do something for God.
Good.
We need you. There are churches in my little state. They need pastors. We need you. Come on, help me. These are dark days. This is not time to backslide. You have an opportunity that you will not have again. You have an opportunity that you will not have again. We've got not to join the world.
Right.
Statement. Gehazi was lost in his private life. His public persona and his private passion were different.
Well, come on.
His public persona and his private desires were different.
Right.
I want to talk to some of you that are that know all the words to Amazing Grace.
Well,
but you have no prayer life.
Come on.
you know, stand up, sit down. We know all the books of the Bible because we got that in grade school. But God's not speaking to you.
Come on.
And I'm going to say this right here. You ready? And then we blame the place. God said to me, well, I don't think I get anything out of chapel anymore. That's your fault.
Right. Amen.
That's your fault.
Come on.
What chariot you chasing?
Good.
What chariot you chasing? Man. Come on, we okay this morning?
Come on.
What chariot you chasing? It's
Come
not time. On. It is not time. It is not time for us to blow it. It is not time for us to say, well, whatever. It is not time to coast. It is not time to be on cruise control. You can backslide a Hiles Anderson College like you can anywhere else.
Right.
It's not time for that.
Amen.
Gehazi, are you serious? Really? Really? You're doing that now? You went to that heathen? You chased after that heathen?
Well,
it is time for you to get your degree. It is time for you to get out of here in that order. It is time for you to get your degree and get out of here. It is time for you to go make a hole in the darkness.
Good.
It is time for there to be a Jesus church somewhere in America that you are a part of.
Good.
It is time for that. It is time for you to take the collective hearts of the people that have been pouring into you. By the way, even before you got here, one verse. 26. And he said unto him, Elisha says unto Gehazi, he said unto him, after he asked him where has he been, and he lied, did my not mine heart with thee? Was not my heart with you? You mean Gehazi, as long as you've been at my side and many times you've heard me, you've seen what I've done. Look at me, I'm done. Was not my heart with you? You mean to tell me you went off into sin and you chased that chariot, you chased the world and you chased what you wanted and you chased your will and every bit of that and you put everything else in your rearview mirror? You mean to tell, was my heart not even there anywhere? Was there not a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or a pastor, a youth pastor, or Brother Wilkerson, somebody here, somebody there, somebody somewhere? You mean to tell me you chased a chariot when all the collective hearts and investment we've been poured into you, you kept chasing that chariot?
Come on.
It's not time for that.
Amen.
Wake up.
Come on.
It's not time for that.
Amen.
It's time to be right.
Good.
It's time to be holy.
Amen.
It's time to be righteous.
Amen.
It's time to be humble. It's time to be a servant. It's time to know what we're, live what we've been trained to be. It's time for you and I to represent Jesus Christ on this earth until the horn blows.
Come on.
That's what it's time for.
Amen.
Be determined. Grit your stinking teeth.
Good.
Be diligent.
Come on.
This is what I've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is what I'm here to do. This is why I came.
Good.
And I came to get out.
Good.
Father, we ask you to bless. I plead with you to bless. I plead with you to help. I plead with you to humble us and change some plans this morning. Redirect some backslider. Show them your mercy and your grace and your love. Bring us, God, to our knees. Cause us to forsake the sin that wants us to chase after that chariot. We're on the bus route, but not on the bus route. We're in the chapel, but not in the chapel. We're ditching out on Saturday. We've got something going on. We're chasing a chariot, and it's not time for that. I beg and plead with you to re-examine. To re-examine why you're here. What the call of God was on your life. What the will God had for you that you gave yourself to. I plead with you. I'm burdened. Don't forsake it. Don't chase that chariot. Really, Gehazi? Now? Now? In our most needy and darkest time, you went that way?